When I think about the authorship of the books of Romans and Ephesians, I don't know about you, I think that they are just absolutely amazing. I am lost for the words. And some of you are thinking that, oh, that would be the first time. See, they are beautifully written and articulate and powerful theology with the strong exhortation with the practical applications. Truly, it is those two books are the two pillars of the New Testament with the exception of Gospels and the Book of Acts. I cannot wait for us to study the Book of Ephesians. Then there is a Galatians. They're talking about the liberty for the Christians in Jesus Christ. And his letter to the Philemon is a pretty much a series of the absolute joy in the Lord Jesus Christ, while he was sitting inside of a prison. And the book of Titus, Thessalonians, 1 Timothy and Philemon, and who can forget about 1 and 2 Corinthians that dealing with spiritual adolescent problem children in the church of Corinth. Here we are at the last portion of 2 Timothy. I believe that this study has been helpful for you, and it's been helpful for me a lot. This is where the great Apostle Paul poured out his heart to his spiritual son Timothy, and he asked this young Timothy to come to him. He wants the presence with him because he's a matter of few days or matter of month, he will be away from this earth and in the presence of Jesus Christ in heaven. However, he also warned his protege that you need to be aware of a few people. He named a couple people here. Let's stop here and we'll have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, let the world show off their own idea of happiness and love. And we realize that there is a limited and temporal. But your Lord is eternal from generation to generation. You give hope to the downcast. You give strength to the brokenhearted. And you give grace and mercy to the unworthy like us. Father, we pray for the woman's retreat that is still going on. We are asking you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon them, that your word come alive. They may understand your intention and precept and principles. And they may apply your meaning to themselves. And we also pray for the President Obama. And we pray for his salvation. Instead of being a politically correct, let him be godly correct. And we also pray for our servicemen in uniform, wherever they are fighting for our freedoms. We are asking you to protect their lives. And if they are outside of this country, you bring them back to their families, to their homes. And we also lift up the uniformed personnel around this community, such as law enforcement personnel, border patrol, tactical, and sheriff deputies and police department officers, and firefighters, especially lifting up the Don Marion and Merrill Simon, who fight against the wildfire and the house fires. And we especially lift up the law enforcement personnel who attend our church, you be their backup. You protect them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 9 of chapter 4 in 2 Timothy, please. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me. That is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Having loved this world, note that, please. Having loved this world, this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Yes, Paul was a great man of God. He stood toe-to-toe against the Emperor Nero and King Agrippa, and he stood against the high priest of Israel. Yet, he is not a superman. He was a human being. He needed and wanted companionship. Paul asked for the presence of Timothy. I'm sure that you've learned the famous phrase, no man is island. No man is island. And it is said by the English poet John Donne. See, indeed we need each other. We need each other. And guys say, well, I don't need anybody. Thank you very much. I can do my own. But even though they may have a tough look outside, they still need each other. The Lord knew and made himself to be our friend, made himself to be our friend, our God. At the same time, the Lord is telling us that we believers should have a fellowship with one another through church. Keep your finger in 2 Timothy, go to the Hebrews. So a couple books behind, Titus, Philemon, and Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Depends on your version who you read. It may vary a little bit, but I'm quoting the New Living Translation. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. In my opinion, that's a good rendering. So I'm sure you did too. I've met many people who told me that they don't need to go to church to be a Christian. I say, you're absolutely correct. However, you're missing out great things. Number one, you need a fellowship in Jesus Christ. Number two, you cannot keep yourself accountable without having somebody nearby. See, they have to have that fellowship. Church service is where they can get the fellowship and learn sound doctrines. Of course, you have to go to church that teach the Bible. I've seen some of the churches don't teach the Bible, and they talk about humanistic psychology stuff. If you want a psychology stuff, go to college. If you want to get pampered, this is not the church. If you want to get pampered, there are many churches that will pamper you and make you feel good. And at the same time, they do not give you the truth from the Word of God. Isolation is a basic tactic of the many army against its enemy, isolation. So you see, the isolating personal unit from the main body, then it is not that difficult for them to overcome that enemy. Let me make this very clear to you. Attending church faithfully should be important priority over watching ball game on TV. Some people say, well, there is a good ball game. Well, don't you have a TiVo or DVR? Can you not record it? Where is the priority? Where is God in the priority? You shouldn't go to church because there is a free donuts and coffee. But you should go to church because you want to hear from God. So let me ask you this. Do you come to church because it's something to do on Sunday morning to fulfill your religious duty to yourself? Or do you come to church because you're expecting God to speak to you? If you do, you have a right motive. God should be the highest priority in your life and not some games or some other anything or for that matter, anyone. As a matter of fact, God should be your first priority. Second priority is your spouse, if you're married. If you're not, well, I guess that's a different story. And your children. And then somebody else and other people. guess who is in the last priority? Yourself and myself. God first. I'm not saying the church service is the highest priority. If you start doing that, your church become your idol. God first. Why should Timothy be diligent and faithful to be with Paul? Verse 10 gives us a glimpse of the answer. Demas was mentioned three times in the New Testament. You can see the sad progress of failure and backsliding. Let's keep your finger in 2 Timothy again and go to the Philemon. It's turned to right, Titus in Philemon, verse 24. If you find yourself chapter 3 or 4 or 2, you're in the wrong book. There's only one book in the Philemon, chapter, I guess, 1, verse 24. As do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and note that, look, my fellow laborer. And then this time turn to left, go to Colossians chapter 4, please. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, right before 1 Thessalonians. Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. Are you there yet? Okay, now he's, Apostle Paul is closing the letter again. Look, the beloved physician and Demas greet you. This time he doesn't say the fellow laborers, just say Demas greet you. See, the from fellow laborers to no compliment. And then we go back to the 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, it says, Demas have left me. This can happen to any believers. Folks, I know that all too well. Because I was the lay pastor for the prison ministry at the Calvary Tucson where we used to attend. I did the prison ministry for 12 years at the Arizona State Wilma Complex. I had a captive audience, honest goodness. For 12 years as a lay pastor and 10 years here, I've been pouring out my heart to many people, and some of them have left Christ because they love this present world, because they love this carnal world. They're dabbling into the area where they're going to start the backslide. See, what is there for us to go back there? Nothing more than appeasing our carnal desires. Go, keep your finger there again in Proverbs chapter 26 in the Old Testament, please. Proverbs, Psalms, Proverbs. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. And you're thinking, did you just call your friend a dog? Yeah, when we do the stupid thing, we should be called dog. Did you call your friend a fool? Yes. When we sin against God, that comes from the pure stupidity. Isn't it? I know a friend. And this is the former pastor of Calvary Chapel of the White Mountains. He was one of my mentors. And I was on his board of director to help him. He started getting into the internet pornography heavily. He got caught. He and myself and another board member had to come to the place where we had to dismiss him. He didn't repent. He and his family moved to the East Coast. Recently, about a month ago, I found out that this man continued in his escapade of the pornography. Not only that, he's now divorcing his wife so he can chase after other women, some from Eastern Europe, and heavily into the pornography. Once he was the man of God, once he was the teacher of the Bible, now he cannot see anything other than having sex and pornography. Don't think that you are immune from that kind of thing. Nobody is. Dog, as dog returned to vomit, fool repeat the folly. This man was like is like a demon, and loving this present world enough to believe the Savior who would die for him. Back to the chapter 4, 2 Timothy verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark, not the word, get Mark, bring him with you. For he is useful to me for ministry. See, the doctor Luke, he's a physician. Remember, note that the physician during that time were not making a lot of money. They were slaves. Okay? They were slaves. Most of them were slaves. Doctor would travel with Apostle Paul in many journeys, missionary journeys, and he's been with him for a long time. Here's a Mark, also known as John Mark. He must be from South. He has two first names, right? So John Mark is the nephew of Barnabas. In their first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas took John Mark with them. In the middle of the missionary journey, John Mark, I don't know what happened to him. However, he decided he's going to go back to his mommy in Jerusalem. So he left them high and dry and went back to Jerusalem. At the second missionary journey, Barnabas and Paul decided, who should we take with us? Barnabas said, well, let's take my nephew again. He's grown up. He repented from his mistake. We'll take him. And Paul said, over my dead body. And Barnabas said, well, that can be arranged. And that's my paraphrase. Never mind. So there was such a harsh conflict. Let's go to keep your finger there again, Acts chapter 15. By the way, if your cell phone ring now, you're buying lunch for the rest of us, okay? Yeah, call CJ's phone number. Do you need his cell phone number? Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insists that they should not take with them to the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Verse 39. Then their contention became so sharp that they departed from one another. You know what? I get encouraged. Even the two godly men like Apostle Paul and Barnabas arguing with one another. It is no wonder why, as one of our memory verses, God used the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God used the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. Right? Verse 39, their contention became so sharp that they departed from one another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Folks, here we see Paul urging Timothy to bring Mark back with him. This is the evidence of the restoration of trust in Mark from the Apostle Paul. Bring Mark back with you. He is useful to me for ministry. That's so good. Verse 12. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus and bring the cloak that I left with the helpers at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchment. According to Acts chapter 20, Tychicus was a believer and from the province of Asia, and who willingly accompanied the Apostle Paul, and he became a personal slave, bondservant, doulos. And he was with Apostle Paul in the first imprisonment, and then mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6. He relieved Titus previously in the book of Titus, as we can tell. And now this time, Apostle Paul is sending Tychicus to Ephesus so the Timothy can come see him. Paul is asking Timothy to bring his cloak. What's the cloak? I don't know what you call it. You know, it's kind of like a Mexican people have this big humongous blanket with a little hole in the middle. What you call that thing? Pancho? No, pancho is a military term for. Huh? Yeah, gesundheit, okay. Anyway, that thing is a cloak. It's kind of keep you warm. I read two different commentaries regarding this Paul's books and the parchment. Some biblical scholars say the books represent the scripture he read, since the Greek word for book is a biblion. And the other claims that parchment is the scripture he studied. Either way, the Apostle Paul, according to church tradition, well-respected rabbi Gamaliel was the Paul's teacher before the Paul's conversion. And Gamaliel could not give him enough books because the Apostle Saul at that time, he was reading every book he can lay his hands on. His bright mind was consuming everything he could read. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his work. Verse 15, you also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20, Apostle Paul mentioned Alexander. He does not say Alexander the coppersmith, but he just said Alexander. We don't know whether they are the two different people or the same person. Because Alexander, the name Alexander in Greek realm is a very common name. Rather than bad-mouthing about Alexander the coppersmith, Apostle Paul simply warned Timothy about him and expect the Lord to repay him according to his work rather than avenging Alexander with his own hand. Paul was doing exactly what he preached to us. It is a terrible thing to be judged by God according to our works. Don't think that, well, I'm such a good person, God will wink at me. Not in your life. We are born with a sinful nature. We are living in sin without Jesus Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Beloved, do not revenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So don't go out and trying to do revenge yourself. For the believers of Jesus Christ, our sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, by his atoning sacrifice on the cross. In other words, there's nothing to be judged. If you are born again Christian, there's nothing to be judged by God. And when God sees you, he sees holiness and righteousness of God. What a deal, isn't it? Do you know someone who hurt you deeply? And you're thinking, oh yeah, I can name this, 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 this. Don't go after them. Neither you talk about them to others constantly. If you do, you are just reopening the old wound over and over again. Whenever you think about that person, you might have that gall happening in your stomach and have a bad taste in your mouth. Forgive that person. One time I was talking with a brother. He said, I cannot forgive that person because my wife literally tried to kill me. So I said, well, your choice. It is your choice. You can forgive her and move on, or you can dwell on it and literally dying inside of yourself. See, when you rehash your old wound, that person does not even suffer. You think you're hurting that person is not hurting. So since that person is not hurting, and you get angrier, it gets worse and worse and worse. the bitterness sets in. You follow me? Let God take care of that person. Verse 16 of chapter 4 in 2 Timothy again. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be judged against me. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. What a comforting thought to know that the Lord is with us no matter what, and no matter what the family members or friends talk about us and the way they treat us. After all, the only thing that matters is what God says. Agree? Paul was not holding the grudge against Alexander Coppersmith nor the demons. Who or what is this lion? Would that be a little lion, the beast? If that's the case, he's not a Roman citizen. As a Roman citizen, he would not be thrown into the den of lion like it happened to the many Christian slaves who came from the other countries. Instead, he should be executed as being beheaded. So was the lion Emperor Nero. They used the symbol to symbolize the emperor, they used the lion. Probably not. If he had been an emperor was the lion, that means he was delivered, that means he was acquitted. At this point, he was in the first preliminary hearing. He only had, obviously, this is Satan. Let's go to the 1 Peter chapter 5. Do you understand what I'm saying? 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn to right, not to left. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Some of you guys know this by heart. It reads, "Be sober and be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Satan can be like a lion, trying to devour us. Back to the 2 Timothy, this time verse 18. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. One of the things that amazes me is that no matter what kind of situation Apostle Paul is in, he always comes to the top. We read the book of Acts, and when the Apostle Paul and the Silas stuck in the prison, they began to have a worship session. Worship and praise. They're singing, their legs and the arms are stuck in the stock, and they start singing praise to God. I'm sure God enjoyed his worship and praise, so he was doing toe tapping, then knee slapping, hand clapping, and he did a little too much, and the earthquake happened. The wall fell down. Everybody's chain got off, and stock was off, and jailer, the very one who beat them and chain them, come and say, "What must I do to be saved?" What a testimony that is. And when he was brought before the various dignitaries, the Emperor Nero and King Agrippa and Festus and Felix, Felix the cat, that's the governor of that region, he became a master of every situation. Even when he was the prisoner being transported from Israel to Rome, within a short time, the crew member, the captain of the ship, and the owner, and the soldiers, and even the Roman centurion, they were listening to his order and being obedient to him. You see, if the Paul was bold. Why? Because he's a Superman? No, because he was with God. He didn't seem to be afraid of anything. He never seemed to get down. His life wasn't easy by any means, but he was fully convinced of the faithfulness of God and was sustained by that conviction. Let's face it, we all worry, don't we? We all worry time to time. What is a worry? What is the definition of a worry? Here is the definition of worry. Borrowing next day's problem for today. You follow? Borrowing next day's problem for today. And many times, next day's problem does not happen. But we have something to do. It's like a rocking chair. Speaking of rocking chair, me being a grandpa, you know, I mentioned to you, I'm going to be grandpa in sometime middle of January, so I bought a rocking chair. I'm ready. You guys don't know how many baby wipes I've been buying. Every time I go to Costco, I buy the box of baby wipes. I tell you what, that kid's going to be the cleanest kid in the world. Verse 19. Greet Prisca, Aquila, and household Onesiphorus. Aristus stayed in Corinth, and Trophimus I have left in the Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. That is so emotional. Eubulus greet you, and as well as Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you, Spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Prisca, also known as Priscilla, and Aquila, her husband, are the husband and wife team who assist the apostles' ministry for a long time, as you may notice their name in the book of Acts, in especially chapter 18. Now they are in Ephesus, and helping Timothy with his ministry. This has much heart and emotion behind it. As an old man, Apostle Paul dearly wanted to see his spiritual son Timothy before he died. He didn't know we don't know whether Timothy got to be there before Apostle Paul's execution. Why did he say to come before winter? During that time, you have two choices. You couldn't fly. Either you walk all the way by foot or by donkey or whatever animal you can ride. You can travel long way. It will take months or sometimes a year. Or you can cut through the sea. However, you can only travel during the late spring through the early fall. Once it gets to the winter storm, nobody can travel because a lot of times harbor is frozen, and a lot of times there is a storm that is so cold that they don't want to mess with. That's why the Apostle Paul is urging him, come before winter. Otherwise, it's going to be too late. I have two applications for you guys. Number one, if you isolate yourself from the fellowship with the other believers of Christ, you are only a few steps away from the compromise with Satan and this carnal world. Let me say this to you. How many of you guys do the barbecue grill? If you're good at it. How many of you are really good at it with a barbecue grill? Okay, I'm coming over today. When you do the charcoal grill, okay? I'm not talking about gas grill, charcoal. You pile up the charcoal, and what do? You spray the liquid, right? Okay, just stay with me. Now we have a resident expert. Okay, at the beginning, you just pile up the bunch of charcoal. That's how you start, either way, one way or another, right? But if you want to separate, if you separate one charcoal out of bundle, even though they were hot red, burning red, you separate, even from the one in the middle, you take it out, separate itself, all by itself. What happened to it? It become coal. That is what the enemy does. Enemy will come, separate you from the fellowship. If you ever get hurt emotionally within the body of Jesus Christ, you deal with that person right away, so there won't be any problem. If you go home and start to hold a grudge against that person, the first thing you're going to say, I'm not going to go to church to see that person. Guess who is missing out? It's not that person. It's not church. You. When I confront some of the people gently, and that person say, well, I'm not coming to church. Because I confront them with the truth in love. It's like, yeah, that's going to hurt me. No, it's hurting you. Do not separate yourself from the fellowship of Jesus Christ. And you're helping yourself if you do that. And you're a few steps away from the compromise with the world and Satan. Keep yourself in the Word, not in the world. In the body of Jesus Christ, the church. Second application. Let the Lord do the judging and avenging. Let me say one more time. Let the Lord do the judging and avenging. Otherwise, we will live in the lives of constant vengeance. If I revenge against you because I was hurt, guess what? You're going to retaliate me. And I go do it again and again and again and again. What does good come out of that? Nothing. I heard a story that there was two brothers who got mad at each other. They go attend the same church. They go to church. Of course, they lived in separate places in town. So one guy comes through the one church door and the other one comes through the other church door. And sitting inside the same church building, lifting your hands and worship God, yeah, that flies well. What does the Word of God say? If you have anything against your brother, what does Jesus say? Leave the sacrifice on the altar and go take care of it with your brother and then come back. Then that sacrifice is a sweet aroma to God's nostril. Understand? Let's stand up and pray.